Okay, tonight we the title of the message is called Bible Prophecies and the End Times. So please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16, we're going to read verses 16, 17 and 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. And hopefully the rain won't get any louder, or otherwise I'll have to start yelling. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that in your word holds everything that that pertains to life and godliness, Lord. And we thank you for that, that you have supplied it to us, Lord, and that we can have it in our hands, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that everyone here would have come tonight, Lord, prepared to hear what you have to say to them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to put it to use in our lives, Lord. And we wouldn't just be hearers of the word, Lord, but that we would be doers of the word. And Lord, we thank thee in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The next major event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the New Testament believers. Amen. That's us. It's an event in which the dead in Christ will be raised, the living saints will be changed from mortal to immortal, and all will be caught up to meet Christ in the air. And the Bible tells us that the rapture is imminent. It's imminent. For those who don't understand what imminent means, it's like it's around, just around the corner. It's like a hair's breadth away. A hair's breadth away. We don't know exactly when it will occur, but it can happen at any time. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." True Christian living is to serve the living and true God in this present world while living in expectation of the return of his Son from heaven. Amen? And the time is very late. Although we cannot know the exact time of the rapture, we can know that it is drawing near, because we can see many prophecies being fulfilled. Men running to and fro. You don't have to turn there, but in Daniel chapter 12 verse 4 says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the end of time." Sorry, even to the time of the end. "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Many shall run to and fro. Men running to and fro is a definite sign of the end times. For the first 6,000 years of man's history, transportation didn't change much from century to century, with men walking, riding beasts of burden, or travelling on sailing ships. But since the 19th century, there has been an explosion of transportation technology to allow men to run to and fro. First there are railroads and steamships, then automobiles, then modern all-weather highways, aeroplanes and space shuttles. When Adoniram Judson travelled from Boston to India as the first American foreign missionary in 1812, that journey took 4 months. Today the same journey takes 1 day. As I mentioned in my message, Us, the Bible and the Church, which is probably about a month ago maybe or more, every day there are 2.5 million people travelling by air. Train travel. In India alone, there are 30 million passengers travelling by rail per day. There's also 1.2 billion cars in the world. Men running to and fro. The explosion of knowledge. And knowledge shall be increased. The explosion of knowledge is a sign of the end times. Again, up until the 1900s, it was said that the accumulation of knowledge doubled every century. At the end of World War II, it doubled every 25 years. Today, knowledge is doubling every 13 months. And IBM predicts that in the next couple of years, information will double to every 12 hours. Those who were born near the turn of the 20th century witnessed an explosion of knowledge such as the world has never seen. In one lifetime, the world moved from the horse and cart age to the space age. The increase of knowledge has brought us to the computer age. The first general purpose computer, called UNIVAC, was built in 1951. It weighed 13 tons, took up 106 metres of floor space and stood 2.5 metres high. In the 1960s, the integrated circuit was invented, and today's laptops are millions of times more powerful than the UNIVAC. The increase of knowledge has allowed man to walk on the moon and to send a robotic vehicle on a 248 million kilometre journey to explore the surface of Mars. The increase of knowledge has allowed scientists to discover the fundamental elements of the universe and map the DNA of a living cell. The increase of knowledge has brought us into the global communications age with its satellites, internet and smartphones. Cisco, a multinational networking company, predicts that by 2020, which is only 2 years away, there will be 11.6 billion connected mobile devices on the planet. In the last 24 hours, there was 3.8 billion people accessing the internet. With all this technology, the nations will be able to observe the events described in Revelation chapter 11, verse 8 to 10. If you want to quickly turn there with me, Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. So never before in the history of man has the whole world been at a point where they can witness something like this simultaneously. The peace movement, another sign of the times or the end times. In 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The cry of peace is another sign of the end times. The first international peace conference was held in 1899, it seems like a very long time ago, in The Hague. Well, the object there was preventing wars and ushering in world peace. After World War I, the League of Nations was formed with the same objective. And then after World War II, the United Nations took its place. At the UN headquarters in New York, there is a statue of a man beating a sword into a plow, and the words of Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4 inscribed on a wall. And Isaiah chapter 2 verse 4 says, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But the UN will never bring peace to this troubled earth. Why not? Because there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked, which you'll find in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22. The prophecy being fulfilled today is not Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, but it's Joel chapter 3, verse 10, which is a call for the nations to beat their plowshares into swords and arm themselves for war. The ultimate fulfillment of 1 Thessalonians 5:3 will occur when the Antichrist comes on the scene as a man of peace. The world will be convinced that he will solve all problems and that he will usher in an age of peace and prosperity. If you want to quickly turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. The me generation. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. The first characteristic of end time apostasy that the Spirit of God describes in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is that men shall be lovers of their own selves. There has never been a better description of modern pop culture that has permeated our world through the facilitation of modern communications technology. 2006 was a fair while ago, but can anyone remember who the person of the year on Time magazine was for the year 2006? Didn't get that issue hit you? Okay. Well, the person of the year was you. The magazine cover featured a sheet of mylar which was to reflect the reader's own face. It is the age of MySpace, YouTube, my music, my tweets, my fashion, my generation and my attitude. The pop culture is all about me, and its dramatic fulfillment of Bible prophecy, a definite sign of the end times. The homosexual rights movement. You don't have to turn there. Like I said, I've got plenty of scripture tonight, but if you want to turn there quickly, you can. Luke chapter 28, verse 32. Luke chapter 17, verse 28 says, "Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him not likewise not return back." Remember Lot's wife. In Luke, Jesus likened the end of the church age to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is a reference to aggressive homosexuality. We see this in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 4. "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called out unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." That's incredible. The whole city. The spirit of homosexuality has swept across the world like wildfire. Gay marriage has been legalized now in 26 countries. Australia was the 26th country to legalize gay marriage. Global multi-billion dollar corporations such as Microsoft, Apple, Starbucks and Google campaign for homosexual rights. The Episcopal Church in America ordained a homosexual bishop in 2003. The Metropolitan Community Churches, founded in 1968, has 222 congregations in 37 countries that are largely composed of homosexuals. They describe themselves as a leading force in the development of queer theology. The president of Chick-fil-A, American fast food chain, made a public statement in August of 2012 in support of traditional marriage. And he was treated like an enemy of mankind. by large numbers of prominent people. The mayors of some major cities in the US said that his restaurants aren't welcome in their towns. This is a dramatic sign of the end times. Government surveillance. The majority of what I'm going to tell you here is about America, but it's a worldwide phenomenon. Don't think that we don't have it here in Australia, because we do. Government surveillance has increased so dramatically in the last decade, there can be no doubt that this is a sign of the end times. Revelation chapter 13, verse 17, And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. It is almost impossible to move around and communicate in modern society without being observed by the government. It is impossible to use a credit card, an ATM, a mobile phone, travel internationally without creating an electronic trail. In the US, agencies such as the NSA, the CIA and the FBI spend billions of dollars annually to intercept and analyse telephone and internet traffic. Since 2007, federal, state and local government agencies are allowed to access imagery from military intelligence satellites to observe the activities of the US citizens. The FBI is creating a billion-dollar underground computer facility to store DNA, facial recognition data, iris and retina data, fingerprints and palm prints of their own people living in the US. Ira Hunt, the CIA's chief technology officer, said, "We try to collect everything and hang on to it forever." The Department of Homeland Security awards billions of dollars in grants to assist local, state and federal agencies to install and operate video surveillance equipment. One example is in Chicago's Operation Virtual Shield, which connects over 50,000 cameras to a centralized monitoring center. William Binney, who was one of the foremost mathematicians and codebreakers at the National Security Agency, warns that the NSA is spying on Americans with the technology that it developed to spy on foreign governments. He said that the government is collecting information on everyone, and if you become a target for whatever reason, the government or the FBI or the other agencies of the government can go into their database and pull all of the data on you. In the UK, in London alone, there's an estimated 500,000 surveillance cameras. I mean, London's big, but it's not that big. Some US school districts, such as those in San Antonio, Texas, are requiring students to wear tags that allow the institutions to track their movements. There is increasing surveillance from the air by drones. The US and the UK are working on plans to build fleets of surveillance drones for use by police and government agencies. Defence Advanced Research Projects Agency in the US has funded the development of teams of drones that pilot themselves, automatically decide who is suspicious and how to go about monitoring them. They coordinate their activities with other drones nearby and then notify human operators if something suspicious is occurring. Sounds like a science fiction movie. But it's happening in the world today. A swarm of automated self-directing drones can automatically patrol a city and track suspicious individuals, reporting back to a centralized monitoring station. Then there's Project Golden Shield in China. They're installing millions of surveillance cameras with advanced analytics and facial recognition software, all connected to a centralized database and monitoring station. The plan is to computerize and store a digital photo of every face of the 1.3 billion people in China. US corporations such as IBM, General Electric and Honeywell are assisting in this project. Businesses are in the surveillance game. They are linking surveillance cameras to sophisticated software that allows them to profile customers and observe their movements and reactions to things
as sales displays and general shopping situations. Companies are also purchasing mannequins equipped with cameras in their eyes that record data on customers at eye level. Retailers in Europe and the US are using these surveillance devices to observe the age, gender and race of passers-by, and the company that makes the mannequins is testing technology to allow retailers to eavesdrop on what customers are saying. Pretty crazy stuff. The European Union. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2, I've got a couple of scriptures from Daniel. Yeah, Daniel, and keep your finger in Revelation if you were still there, if you were there. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 40. We're going to read from 43 to 44. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of the iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixeth with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and the part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, thou shalt mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Amen. So according to the prophecies of Daniel, a revived form of the Roman Empire will play a central role in end times. The Roman Empire is the fourth kingdom described in the vision of Daniel 2. And here we're told in this passage that it will not cease to exist until it is destroyed at Christ's return. The old Roman Empire was signified in Daniel as two legs of iron, as it was divided into eastern and western portions. And the feet and toes of the empire will still exist in the end times and will be broken and consumed by God's kingdom. Daniel also tells us that the Antichrist will arise as a prince out of the Roman Empire. If you're still in Daniel, quickly turn to Daniel chapter 19. We'll look at chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. Daniel chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week shall he cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In the prophecy of the 70 weeks, Daniel identifies the Antichrist as the prince of people who destroyed Jerusalem after the death of the Messiah. And this occurred in 70 AD at the hands of Rome under General Titus. This key prophecy tells us that the Antichrist will not arise from one of the Muslim countries, though there is no doubt that the Muslims will be aligned with the Antichrist, as with all religions. The Muslims have their own prophecies about an Antichrist and a false prophet, and even have prophecies about the return of Jesus as a Muslim. But the Muslim prophecies have no biblical authority. Amen. The Bible does not give us enough information about how the Muslims will fit into the Antichrist scheme, but it's obvious that something will happen to allow the Jews to build the third temple. which will eventually be occupied by the Antichrist. And as I've shared with you on a previous message, everything is ready for the third temple to... All they've got to do is build the building. Everything there is to furnish, is ready to furnish the third temple. And the Antichrist will make this happen. According to Daniel's prophecies, we know that Western Europe will play a major role in the end times. The European Union was formed in 1993. It encompasses 500 million people. Or maybe a bit less now that Brexit's happening. And owns 30% of the world's gross domestic product. The euro was adopted in January the 1st, 2002 as a common currency. The symbol of the European Union is the ancient Tower of Babel. And outside the Union's headquarters is a statue of a woman riding the beast. Sorry, a woman riding a beast. Which is very profound. We don't know if the existing European will play any role in the rise of the Antichrist, but we do know that some sort of European Union will. Now we come to Babylonian commercialism. If you want to turn to Revelation chapter 18, we're going to look at verses 1 through to 3 and then... Revelation chapter 18, 1 through to 3, and then we'll drop down to chapter 9. Sorry, chapter 18, verse 9. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And drop down to verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. In addition to idolatry, commercialism was one of the chief characteristics of the city, states and empires that arose out of ancient Babel, beginning in the 3rd millennium BC. The spirit of commercialism characterized the city-states of Babel, Ur, Nineveh, Mari, and Elam. It characterized the empires of Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. The ancient city of Assur has yielded more than 22,000 tablets describing the activities of ancient merchants. There was a passion to buy and sell, to conduct international trade, to create desirable goods that men and women would lust after, to pursue a level of profit that would make the seller rich, and to collect as many possessions as possible. Sounds a bit like today, doesn't it? And the passion to obtain possessions and wealth was not limited to legal means, but extended to deceit, fraud, theft, kidnapping and violence, sounding more and more like today. And this is not surprising, since Babylonism was and is a passion to fulfill the lusts of fallen human nature. And Jesus taught that one of the sins that is prominent in man's fallen heart is covetousness. The Bible further identifies covetousness with idolatry. This is because the covetous person puts money and possessions before God and his will, whereas Jesus taught us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33.
He warned of the sign of the rich man who layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It's not wrong to make money and have possessions and enjoy them. It is not wrong to plan wisely for the future and its possible obligations. But it is wrong to put anything before my relationship with the true and living God. And it is wrong to live by sight rather than faith. And to do so is the essence of idolatry. The spirit of Babylonian commercialism is the spirit of unbridled lust. It is the spirit of the pursuit of the pleasures of this life, apart from a right relationship with the true and living God. It is loving the creation more than the Creator. Revelation 18 is amazing prophecy in the light of the system of international trade that exists today. As I said before, multi-billion dollar global corporations such as Apple and Nike and Disney or Starbucks do not merely sell things, they promote a philosophy of living as one pleases, separate from God's holy laws. And they flaunt their rebellion to God's laws, and like I said before, supporting such things as homosexual marriage. There is no God in the world of Apple or Nike or Disney or Starbucks other than the God of self. Revelation 18 is also an amazing prophecy in the light of the unrestrained covetousness that characterizes the end time pop culture we see today. Young people have been murdered for a pair of Nikes or a pair of sneakers or runners or whatever you like to call them. Young people have sold their kidneys for an iPad. People have died in the violent confusion of Black Friday shopping frenzy. Sensual gambling havens such as Las Vegas are multi-billion dollar enterprises because of the people's passion for covetousness and the fulfillment of every lust of the flesh. The book of Revelation lifts the veil on end-time commercialism and exposes its demonic underpinning. The occultic spirit of the New Age permeates end-time commercialism. In Daniel's day, Babylon was the home of magicians, soothsayers, astrologers, and they were official counselors of the king. All of today's reviving cults of Satanism, Spiritism, occultism, witchcraft, and astrology will gravitate towards the new Babylon. People are turning more and more to the occult world out of curiosity and ignorance. The spirit of end-time commercialism and global trade are empowered by the prince and the power of the air. In conclusion, our opening scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. There is much, much evidence that we are living at the very end of the church age. As I mentioned in my opening statement, the next major event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm excited about the prospect of meeting Christ in the air without dying first. Amen? I'm excited when I see events unfolding on the political world stage. Before I got saved, I used to be scared of what I was seeing on the world stage. Amen? But God is in control and there is no need to fear what is coming. Amen? But we need to use what little time we have left wisely. Amen?